Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writers' Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have 1 hour to turn an idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. I am your host and buff dude, Freddie Wong.
My name's Will Campos, and I'm here to write screenplays and chew gum, and I'm all out of gum.
I'm Matt Arnold, and I'm ball buster first and foremost, and writer and director when I'm not fucking people up.
So in case you haven't been able to tell by my co-host's very bad impressions, we saw the news this week that Duke Nukem is turning into a movie with Michael Bay's production company and John Cena attached and us. I don't know if you guys saw that.
We saw the news in our email boxes when we got the official offer from the studio.
So this week, Duke Nukem. I feel like we have to. A lot of people tweeted us about it, so thank you very much.
Duke Nukem's back, baby.
Duke Nukem's back again.
I'm so excited. My favorite radical boy. My favorite radical rude dude.
Hey, so for those of you who are not PC gaming, 90s PC gaming enthusiasts, can we get a little history of Duke Nukem?
Nukem was originally a side-scrolling action shooter in 1991 and 1993, where essentially you played a big buff boy with a blonde crew cut and like a tank top, and you blasted away aliens. And then the game became really famous with Duke Nukem 3D, which was essentially a Doom Wolfenstein style first person shooter. But what separated Duke Nukem from all the posers and bullshit games is that Duke Nukem had attitude. Duke Nukem talked about guns and boobs and babes, and that was essentially, it was like it's 12-year-old id manifested into a shooter.
Duke Nukem does swears, he quotes action movies, he smokes cigars and visits dens of ill repute where he celebrates the female form.
He's a patron of the female form. Matt, what was your... So, Matt, you never played Duke Nukem, is that correct?
Yeah, my first experience with Duke Nukem... As a 12-year-old kid late 90s or early 2000s, like, I'd seen it. I probably played it, but on PC, I was like a Counter-Strike, Call of Duty, Battlefield boy. But anyways, like, pretty much more or less yesterday, I kind of, like, crash-coursed and played a bunch of Duke Nukem 3D. And then Duke Nukem Forever.
What about you? What about you, Will?
Duke Nukem was one of those verboten games in my house.
Oh,
I had to really become a teen before I was allowed to truly play T for Teen games. So Duke Nukem was very M for mature. So that was like a real I think I might have played it at a couple of friends' houses. I think my uncle was really into the two first side scrolling games on PC.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So I played Duke Nukem. Because the Wong household...
This guy Dukes.
I don't know if you know this, but this guy Dukes. The Wong household was, you know, my dad was really into computers and stuff, but they weren't really looking over my shoulder when it comes to what I was playing. So I played Doom multiplayer with my friends. I played Quake 2 multiplayer with my friends. Duke Nukem was like... It was like back in the day when it was like I pirated it. I didn't buy it, unfortunately. But like it was back in the day when like piracy and everything. And I remember playing online, and I remember being like, this game is really violent. And also in the first level, there's a sort of infamous room, which is basically a strip club. And you press space bar on a stripper, and like a digital representation, she, you know, pulls out and shakes her thing around, and you're basically paying for strippers. I remember being like, oh, and you can just continue doing that. I remember sitting there, even as a teenager, being like, this is kind of lame.
you know what my Duke Nukem was? BMX XXX. You guys remember that game?
Oh, God.
That was when Matt truly became a man.
Next week, BMX XXX. Oh, boy.
So, yeah. Okay. No, so, but we also did a lot of multiplayer. Like, Duke matches was, like, a big thing. And it was actually one of the better multiplayer experiences at the time. So, yeah, I have, I remember the game. It was a fun game.
I want to bring us in.
Let's
start the clock. I also want to just to bring everybody on board with just the sort of general idea of Duke Nukem. You've got this.
Clock starts now.
He's a parody of an action hero. He's got, again, he's this overly macho, hyper aggressive, masculine dude with big muscles and a tank top and blue jeans. He's got like bandoliers and a big cigar and a big golden gun. He's sort of like a spoof of hyper masculine, you know.
Yeah.
Like, but again, Schwarzenegger and Lundgren like just mashed together and turned all American.
Well, there's one of my favorite quotes about video game designers. Someone was like, video game designers have read one book and it's Lord of the Rings, and they've watched one movie and it's Star Wars, and it's, or Aliens rather. And this is like, again, like this is video games sort of like have this weird relationship where they kind of just distill the tropes of movies, especially back in the day. And this is like basically like everything about dumb macho 80s action movies.
Okay, let's get into, because I need to take a moment and just become a Duke fan for a second, because I hated the games I played yesterday. I hate everything about these games. They're gross and juvenile, and I don't find the gameplay is not. It's just derivative. They're shitty. There's a reason why that new game sucks. However, we just got paid millions of dollars to write this John Cena movie. So let me just take a second. This is the best fucking game of all time. So let's do this for real. We're going to do a real Duke Nukem game. This isn't the movie. This isn't some like satire or parody of this. Like somebody wants a Duke Nukem movie.
We're going to give him a Duke Nukem
movie. So let's give him a Duke Nukem movie. Let's get into our 12-year-old boy selves.
But I do think, again, like anything, and not to immediately derail this, but I do like, all right, real talk for a second. Like we all, like it is, this is, these game, this is, he is a relic of the 90s.
Yeah.
He is, the games are sexist and misogynist to the extreme. Women exist as sex objects in these games. Yeah. Duke Nukem treats them as such. It is every, again, like Freddie said, like every bit this vulgar, pubescent fever dream. So to me, the challenge becomes, how do you stay true to that?
Yes.
How do you stay true to the, not the, I won't go as far as to say the positive aspects of it, but how do you stay true to the fun of that without falling into, without making a movie that's just fucking gross? Because like, and again, and this might be a fool's errand. Like, I feel like Lawrence of Arabia trying to cross the anvil of death right now. They're like, there's no way. It's, but it's like the...
Look, you can do something that's indulgent. I like... I was just watching a kind of a defense of Twilight, like 14 years later. I should say her name, but we could put it in the show notes. But there's this good YouTuber who does really good criticism, and she was just like apologizing to Stephanie Meyer, but she was just going into like Twilight. And I think you can do something indulgent as long as you know it's indulgent, and you can avoid the most toxic parts of that indulgence. Like if you can do like just a goofy romance where like a hot guy who's kind of abusive falls in love with a girl, and that girl likes him and like tells her parents to fuck off, you can do like a macho dude who just shoots up aliens and gets the babe. Mm-hmm. We just need to find a way to do it the right way.
Well, what, can you think of examples of movies that have done that? Because like, what springs to mind in terms of like, you know, things that are like a relic of the past are like the Expendables movies, but I would argue that they don't even quite thread the needle too well on those, just because like it's a tough thing the moment it becomes, because like, well, I'll put it this way, built into the text of those 80s action movies is like going across, like going to some foreign country and just murdering the like locals, you know, and which the Expendables has, and it's like the whole, and even when you're watching it, you're just like, ooh, this is kind of weird here. Well, which the one thing Duke has going for it is that it is aliens, even though it is like pig cops are the bad guys, and like,
which is, by the way, the most relevant. That's the most relevant thing.
Let's talk about the pig cops for a second, because I just, as again, I think a way of like, again, for people who aren't familiar with this sense of humor in Duke Nukem, picture a lot of 69 puns, picture a lot of potty humor, but I think nothing quite encapsulates the level of wit that this game is operating at than the aliens come to LA, they turn all of the cops into pig men, get it? Because they're pigs, and then all of their uniforms, instead of saying LAPD, say LARD.
Because lard.
Lard, because they're fat pigs and they're cops. Like, that's the level we're working at here. But it's actually, I think Twilight is actually a really interesting thing to compare it to, because this is like guy Twilight.
Yeah.
Like, it's smut. And it is almost pornography.
Can I take a second? Because I was thinking, I was just like, who likes Duke Nukem? Like, Duke is not cool. Like, I can't think, like, I would think, okay, the guys who chomp cigars and, like, work out, they would look at Duke and be like, that guy sucks. Mm-hmm. That guy's got this blonde crew cut. He talks stupid. He can't even get women. Like, he goes to strip club. Like, he'd be like, that guy's lame. Then, like, somebody suave, like James Bond, would be like, he's the low, like, he doesn't have patriotism. He doesn't have anything positive. Like, it is absolutely a 14-year-old game designer's view. It's like a lamer Joe Camel. Like, he sucks. Like, he's not cool at all. So I'm just trying to think, like, is this even indulgent
for? Because even though James Bond is indulgent to male fantasy, he still has...
You want to be James Bond. I look at Duke Nukem, I'm like, I want to grow up to be Duke Nukem.
This is a fastball for... This is 24-year-olds writing a character for 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
And, like, that is the age bracket, right? Because, like, when I was 12, I was like, Duke Nukem's awesome. And again, I knew he was stupid. Like, and that was part of the fun. Like, he's this oaf. And I remember, like, there's that moment, there's that poignant coming of age moment that everyone who went through puberty as a man in America in Boulder, Colorado, that was named Will Campos, went through where you were like, I learned all of these action movie quotes from Duke Nukem. Mm-hmm. And then there was the moment that I realized that he just stole all of them from Ash from Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's fine, whatever. Like, he's not like an... Yeah. Anyway.
I think that he's stupid and oaf is the thing to kind of hang on to. And
yes.
that if you can make him harmless. Like, he's like harmless as in like... So we were... briefly talking about this yesterday, and I think, like, to me, the only tonal kind of reference I have is Big Trouble in Little China.
I think Big Trouble in Little China, and honestly, as well, Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
Where I think Ash is a great version of this character, where
yeah.
Ash is this heel, and he's self... He's again, like, I actually, with Duke Nukem, you have, again, to get to wax pretentious for a second, because I was thinking, I've been thinking a lot about Duke
Because, by the way,
Nukem
real
lately.
Quick, because we haven't for the entirety of this podcast
yeah.
so far, but yeah, go
to
ahead.
To wax pretentious, I think in Duke Nukem, you have a hero in the archetype of like Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in that Achilles was this brooding, hyper macho, selfish asshole warrior,
yeah.
right? Who had the power of a god, basically. But you look at his story in the Iliad, he's like, he's brooding because, again, like, there's a spat over his babe, basically,
yeah.
right? Like, it's I'm being very reductive right now. But it's like he doesn't get what he wants. And then
yeah.
so he just sits out most of the battle crying and being petulant. And then he decides to come in and kick ass,
mm-hmm.
right? And then, so like with Duke Nukem, I think you have like this guy at the beginning. Like, with the things that I love about Duke Nukem, like, if I were to just unironically say, these
yeah.
are the things that I think are actually fun about the character, not gross. I like that in Duke Nukem 2, he has an autobiography called Why I'm So Great. I love that he has a casino on the Las Vegas Strip. And, you know, he hosts a late show about himself. Like, it's like, he is a narcissist. He's self-interested.
Yeah.
And like, so many great heroes' journeys can start with a character like that.
Yeah.
And then you watch them become more heroic. That's the same thing with Jack Burton. That's the same thing with Ash. All Ash wants is to get back to his time.
Yeah.
And then he comes to care about the people in this world that
yeah.
he's inhabited.
In Army of Darkness.
In Army of
yeah.
Darkness, yeah.
yeah.
The best Evil Dead movie. Come at me, everyone. I also think a lot about I don't know if any of you guys saw we gotta dial into this because we're eight minutes in. So the other one I would mention is, I don't know if you guys saw it, but Jean Dujardin in OSS 117.
I've only seen the clips that you keep
it's
showing.
It's so fun. It's the director who did The Artist.
Yeah.
It's that team, him and Jean Dujardin.
The best Oscar Best Picture winner. Come at me, everybody. No, I don't like that.
So they did, before that, they did a 60s spy spoof that was like shot like an old James
yeah.
Bond movie. And Jean Dujardin plays like the most smug, idiot super spy. Like, it's
yeah.
just basically a spoof on like French imperialism and stuff like that. But he's just blustering his way through the Middle East being fucking racist and sexist and just a moron. But everyone else in the movie knows he's a moron. But he's still fun. Like, he's still a fun character.
Yeah.
And they managed to do like a really fun movie with him and like mocking his ignorance.
Yeah, I mean, that's what works for me in Big Trouble is like he cares about just his truck and does not realize that he's in this like epic kung fu movie.
He's
gangster
yeah.
like mm-hmm. drama, and it matters to everybody else in the movie.
Yeah.
And they kind of just accept him, even though they all are aware that he's kind of an idiot.
Yeah.
And also, like, same thing with Ash. It's like the woman and all the like the people in the town are like, who is this like goofball idiot? But they need him because he knows how to shoot the boomstick, right? So it's like, I think the secret of this is going to be Duke Nukem can't be your main character. Like, he's your main character, but he can't be the, like, I know what they're probably going to do with John Cena is like, it's going to be Duke Nukem going around like Indiana Jones. It's like, Duke Nukem's not Indiana Jones. The same with Jack Byrne needs the rest of the cast to work. Like, Evil Dead Army of Darkness with just Ash being like the super leader who feels like he's constantly in power would not work.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you need that. I put it this way, who does the story really matter to? Because ultimately what this is going to be about is an alien invasion. All the Duke Nukem games are aliens come down to Earth. And some of the reasons Duke gets involved is, one is like his vacation is ruined.
Aliens messed up his car.
Yeah, it's all like stupid stuff like
that. Which is again, very in the vein of Big Trouble, right? Like,
yeah,
his
exactly.
version is, his story is a very boring, like, selfish
story.
Well,
I will throw in that Big Trouble, he very clearly, like, he's saying it's about the truck, but he very clearly cares about Kim Cattrall and his friend. Like, he cares about what's
yeah.
going on the adventure. He's not just a dick. Like, I mean, he's a dick and he's fun.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess, I don't know.
And I mean, like, to me, what's fun about Jack Burton is he's like baffled by everything that's going on around him.
The way I read it was that Jack Burton cared about them thinking he was cool. I didn't think he cared about them. Like, he wants to step up and be the hero all the time.
Yeah,
he
because even to the point where
the
it's
cool
like,
lines. Like, I never got to the point where he doesn't even accept the kiss. He just
yeah,
walks
exactly.
away
he just
from
walks over.
I think he just wants people to think. He wants people to think he is Jack Burton, the guy that he philosophizes about at the beginning, and all the platitudes he credits himself. Like, I think that's all he cares about ultimately. So, like, I think again, I think Duke Nukem cares about people reading his book. I'm so great.
Why I'm
like,
so great?
Yeah, to me, the secret would be like nobody reads that book. Like, nobody watches his late night show. But it's okay because he was the hero they needed or whatever. I don't know.
So all right, I think we've laid again, and I think in terms of your arc, I think this is a selfish hero does something heroic, right? Like that's like that at least that to me seems like your starting place. That seems like the natural thing to do with this guy who is this again comically profound narcissist. Even his body is a temple to himself. You know what I mean? Like that this guy lifts weights and again like very explicitly does steroids in the games, like steroids or power ups and stuff like that. So again, the game at its best to me, or like the character at his best to me, is like a winking, like, spoof of, you know, what a 12-year-old thinks is hyper-masculine. Where the game starts to fall apart to me is like when they kind of just unironically act like Duke is the coolest character of all time. Like, when the game knows that Duke is a punchline is when it works, when the joke works the best for me.
Yeah. And I would even say, just one clarification, I would say that what to me works, because I hadn't seen Big Trouble till recently when you showed it to me, is what worked to me about that is like they didn't have, like, he learned, but like he didn't like at the end, it's the best line of that movie is when she's like, "Are you gonna kiss me?" He just says, "No."
No.
He walks away, and you're like, he didn't learn shit. Like, to me, that's what makes that movie work is like, because it's the movie is also where that Jack Burton is ridiculous, and like it doesn't even he's Jack Byrne. He's not going to change. It doesn't even like just because what's nice about that, it doesn't kind of reward his egotism and kind of narcissism.
What they do with Swiss, again, to unpack Jack Burton a little bit, is what I love about that character and what I love about a lot of these characters is that they're fun to watch because they are brave. They are going to run headfirst into danger and get in over their heads. Yes. They are going to bite off more than they can chew because of their own because of their flaws, right? Because of their vanity, because of their ego. But there is still something redeemable about them. Yes. These are people who are going to, like, despite all of their flaws, like, they're the guy who's going to jump in with just a gun or just a, you know, like a rock or whatever.
He'll step in with four kung fu masters who you just watch annihilate an entire gang with just like a knife in his hand. And be like, come at me.
Yeah.
Like, there's something, redeemable about that.
So, and that's where there's something fun about that. Maybe redeemable's loaded, but
aliens invade.
Yeah, definitely. I think what's the inside? Yeah, what's like the. They invade and then why?
So I remember one of the cutscenes in Duke Nukem 2 I thought was pretty good, which was he was on a late night talk show, or maybe the Game Boy version or something. Uh-huh. But he's on a late night talk show, and he's clearly getting abducted from his late night talk show appearance, which is like. One, it's a nice, easy way from an exposition standpoint to be like, who is this guy? Why are we even talking? Like, where is he in his life?
Well, are you coming in when he's already Duke? Like, when he's already Duke? Are you coming in like Duke Nukem 2 or Duke Nukem 1? Like, is this is he already like
Well, I would say, again, to go to what everyone's favorite game is, it's Duke Nukem 3D. Like, that's the game. And in Duke Nukem 3D, I think the idea is he's already a big deal. And then, like, he gets, like, he thinks of himself as a big... Hey, Ron Burgundy's honestly not a bad character to look at, too, in terms of that Ron Burgundy's an incredibly fun guy. Actually, Will Ferrell would be an amazing Duke Nukem.
I like, because one, you can also avoid like trying to do like an origin story, which again lets you kind of avoid this arc thing. Like, it's like just let him come in fully formed as Duke, and you kind of already have people's takes and personality.
Yeah, because I got, even looking at some of the stuff and what he says, you have very sort of almost like realizing his book is called like, you know, like, why am I so great? Why I'm so great? It's like, it feels like a very Kenny Powers-esque, you know, sort of vibe to him already.
Eastbound and Down is a pretty good...
Regardless. Let's dive in here.
So who are these... All right, to hit this from another angle. Who are these aliens?
Yeah, what are the aliens here for? What are they?
I mean, they're pigs, right? It's weird that all the things are politically incorrect in this game. I wonder, like... Can we straight up do? I feel like the LAPD turning into pigs and being shot is. I mean, we should probably keep that, right? That's like
you got a pig cops is iconic.
I know, one of his sidekicks and we can be a woman cop. It should be a good LAPD officer. One, because it's like you represent like what a real hero is, and that way you can also just straight up like shoot as many pig cops as you want. Mm-hmm. But you have it is an LAPD officer who's like, these aren't my friends anymore. They're being mutated. Like, it's a zombie movie essentially for like her, from her point of view. Mm-hmm. But yes, you also have like somebody who's like truly heroic, somebody who's selfless, somebody who has never gotten a badge of honor. And if you want to do the thing where it's like what Redeemer was like, he gives her. Because, like, of course she's not going to get a badge.
He gives her a badge that's just his face.
Yeah, it's like he gives her the Duke badge and walks off. And she's like, I don't need this. But, yeah, it's like a badass. Like, I feel like a cop would be – you probably need a cop character. It's also, I feel like, a good way to kind of – show, like, you know, a different view of Duke Nukem's heroism is this. And it's like, of course she would use him. It's like, he's a big muscle. Like, she needs another guy who can shoot a gun when it's like the two of them are going to be fighting these aliens.
She needs him to draw to be a distraction while she does the actual
Be a fun way to serve her that. It's like Duke having to strip as a distraction because he's so freaking... That's...
Oh, like a Magic Mike-esque scene? Holy
Oh my
shit.
God, Duke Nukem gets a Magic Mike-esque scene.
I don't... What are you talking about?
He's got a strip. He's a buff boy. They go to a strip club. They need to infiltrate, and you do this classic strip club scene. You open it. It's a dude strip club. He's like, I need a distraction. He's like, and of course you're like, oh, what is he gonna say? Is he gonna say something homophobic? He's like, no problem. I look great. And he rips off his shirt and he strips, and then she's going into the back to like find out whatever it is.
Duke Nukem is gonna take it off in this movie. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I like that. I like doing the, like, he's like, yeah, we're going to a strip club, and then it's a male strip club, and then Duke has zero problems.
Yeah,
with
and then she's like, and then at one point she's like, the problem is that she's distracted. Because she's like, damn.
And then he's getting along with all the other stripper bros. He's like, again, it's like, remember, we had this gag in something we were working on forever ago that Brian Frenzy pitched, where like this rip bro would recognize like the workout program from another bro's abs. He'd be like, P90X, insanity. Like, and then they, so it's like, he's just like, he's in his element.
That's great.
All right. Okay, so you got Duke, you got potentially a lady cop. You got invading aliens, and then they're gonna have to do something to beat up the aliens and win. There, it's done. Story broken.
Is that shattering sound you hear? That's the sound of that story blowing wide open, baby.
Okay. What is his? Let's go back to this for a second. What is his status quo? What does he want?
Yeah.
You know, like, again, and kind of like, you're sort of, what is this story about? You have this guy. Did he save the? Has he saved the Earth before? Are these the same aliens coming back for revenge?
Yes, I think that's
going
to be the easiest thing, because it's also like, why does this cop like go to this dude? It's like, he's done it before. I was going to say, you want to say super? This is very why the chicken crossed the road. But I feel like all he does is he works out, he has sex with women, and he reads his own book because it's the best. It's the only book. His whole life is just his book. And then it says, and then the end of the book is always like, tune in for the sequel. And he's like, because there is no sequel yet, because he hasn't done anything since this book's come out, because there's no alien invasion. He's looking to write
He had a giant wave of publicity after stopping the first wave of aliens with just good guns and just blowing things up all the time, right? And then he was like, I got a book deal out of this. HarperCollins wants my thing. And I'm not ghostwriting this at all. And so he wrote the book. He went on Letterman, did the whole tour. Mansion out in the hills.
All right, can I throw something out? This feels very BoJack Horseman, really.
A little bit, doesn't it?
I was going to say, just steal it from the thing from the beginning of BoJack Horseman and do that. He's just signed a book deal to write Why I'm So Great. So you start with him staring at the blank page, and he's trying to write his manifesto on why he's so great. And that's what he's struggling with.
I don't know.
He was going to let some nerd writer, you know, ghostwrite it for him. He's going to do it himself.
I feel like if you're going to do, I like him. He needs to write the book. I just feel like he's probably, if you're going to do that, he's done this before. I feel like he's, there's something about, like, if it's BoJack, it's like he has his show. He's done it. Because what I like is, like, if his book ended with something like, what you need to know about Duke is that wherever there's danger, wherever there's war, like, I'll be there to punch it right in the balls. And then he sits there and he looks at the TV and he's like, peace reigns for the last 20 years. And he's like, and it's like, there's nothing for him. Like, he wishes he could be great again. It's like, he's not great if the world's not in trouble. So he's bored. And then when it happens, of course he's ready for it. Because at least you put him in, like, his arc
okay.
is... Yeah.
Right, that's interesting.
Historic UN peace accords.
He's just a weapon that needs a war, and there's so he's nothing without it.
Okay, to throw... So, because I had a couple of thoughts. Mm-hmm. One would be, I was like, because I feel like the alien invasion then needs to be Duke's fault.
That's great.
Like, secretly it's
funny.
His fault.
Yeah. That's funny. That it subverts everything.
It's very much his fault that this is happening. Because to me, like, again, like, my first thing would be like, okay, this guy is bored. All he knows how to do is fight and kick ass. And you know, again, okay, to get again to the core of the character, this is something that, like, you know, I not to empathize too much with Duke Nukem right now because I'm so awesome, but whenever I take a vacation from work, whenever I go on vacation, I was talking to my wife about this. Like, at first, it's really relaxing, and it's like, because your life is like this ocean, right? And like, when you're just in the middle of the shit, the waves are choppy, but then you go to relax, and then the waves settle, and you can see to the bottom of the ocean, and you. And it's like, yes, it's nice, but then it's like all of your anxieties that you've been not focusing on because you're so busy with the day-to-day of living come up and start attacking you, right? Yeah. And so then I have like a stressful freak out in the middle of my vacation, and I have to deal with all of it, and then I get to relax, yeah. right? And because it's like when you're grappling, when you're in battle, right? Like for Duke, when he is in the middle of fighting aliens, he doesn't have time to think about who yeah. he is. He doesn't have time to self-reflect. Like he doesn't get bored because he's kicking ass, right? Yeah. But now that he has achieved everything, like he is bored. He yeah. is, and he's those thoughts of his abusive father and whatever the fuck is like. He doesn't know who he is. Like yeah. and he's, and you know, like there's only so much joy you get out of scoring with babes and smoking cigars and like shooting in the practice yeah. range, right? So he's dealing with that, and he doesn't know how to deal with it. So he does something stupid, right? He sends. Okay, bear with me.
Yeah.
The alien that he kicked the ass of last time,
yeah.
he sends him a dick pic. He's like, remember these bad boys? And like you reveal that like he teabagged this alien, like the alien leader the last time. And so he sends him a picture of his balls to be like, hey, fuck you, I'm still better than you. And it pisses the alien off. He's like, that's it, we're invading Earth
we're
again.
Back.
It's back on, baby.
It could be a dick pic. That I had the thought when you said that he should do something. You could do that. I was also thinking that if you start, I'm just going to say in my head he's bisexual for some reason. It just makes me feel better if he just has sex with men and women. But whatever. No,
I mean, he's a very
like
sexual
that. I think
being.
He's just a sexual being who yeah. likes conquest. So, like, you know, maybe it gets rid of a little bit of toxicness if he just fucks everybody. Anyways. I think it's like, yes, he just had sex and maybe he didn't get it up for the first time or he's just out of it. And he's like, yes, he's bored and he's reading his own book about all the kick-ass alien stuff. And in Duke Nukem Forever, he has a museum of his own shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's like a teleporter to the alien planet. He's just sitting there, and if he's like, you know what, fuck it. He opens it up, and he just steps in onto the alien planet. They all look, and they see him, they scream, and he just beats the shit out of a few of them, and then walks back. He's like, ah, it feels good. And then, of course, it starts a war. They come back. Like, he literally just unprovokes, like, start a war. And then, like, the whole time he's going to save the aliens, they're like, oh, my God, how do these people come here? Like, what did Earth do? He's like, yeah, man, this is really bad. We got to – anyways.
I think some version of that – maybe he pranks the alien.
Yeah.
Like, by, like
– or he makes, like, the girl – like the people he had, the girl – The whole bunch of people he's
the orgy he's
from. The orgy he's going having. They want him to show off his stuff, and literally he opens up the portal, so it's like a television screen,
mm-hmm.
and he steps in, he just kills a bunch of aliens for them,
yeah.
and he steps out, they're like, oh my god, Duke, you're so amazing. He's like, and then he just cuts to this orgy begins as Duke Nukem.
Well, yeah,
and then the alien's like, humanity has attacked us. Like, it's just like literally he's just getting his rocks off.
I think, okay, yes, here's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
Duke Nukem is preparing for Duke Fest, right? Which is the anniversary of the last time he kicked the aliens' butts, Dukapalooza,
yes.
right? And on Dukapalooza, he has this big orgy with, you know, Caligula level, you know, like, and he's going to, you know, with men and women, and, you know, like, it's this whole thing. And again, but he can't get it up, right? And, like, his doctor's like, he's like, but doc, my balls, or whatever, right? And the doctor's like, Duke, you can't, like, I don't know. Like, and he's like, taking the pills and they're not working. And so then he's like, I know what'll get me pumped up. I've got to go fucking kick some alien ass.
Yeah.
Right. So he does this so he can get yeah. a boner so he can go to his orgy. And then, yes, you do. He beats up. And then when he goes, like, again, he defaces some, you know, he shits on a statue of their
yeah.
leader, right? He
yeah.
does some disgusting,
yeah, just this, like,
vile
juvenile
act, right?
Stupid.
Yeah, whoa, and everyone's like, Duke rules, and he comes back. And so then he has his orgy, and he wakes up the next morning, and he literally doesn't realize he left the teleporter on when he came back. So the portal's just there. So he wakes up in the morning, and just
that's
the
so
aliens
good.
Have just taken over the yeah. earth. And he's like, oh, shit. But Sikri's like, yeah.
I just love that the entire time, everybody, like the president who's asking for help.
No,
it's
I
like
love
cop.
It.
It's like everybody's like, these aliens have come. It's like, they don't know that. It's
no, I love the
fault.
Idea that he gets summoned to the White House immediately. It's like, Duke, there's aliens back. How did they get here? NASA, or NORAD has not picked up anything. Damn, I don't know.
By the way, nobody, I definitely stand by, nobody ever finds out. Like,
oh,
to the
yeah,
point
yeah,
where, like,
yeah.
the last line is literally like, you
I
have
think-
that moment? No, you have that moment when him and the cop are together, and he's like, this is the last time you come to Earth. Like, and he has this, like, that big line, he beats the shit out of the aliens, and they close the portal, and they're like, yes. It's like, wait, nobody knows that Duke is just.
I think the cop should find out. I think he needs to get it thrown in his face at some point. I don't,
yeah.
And I think you just. Because he's got to come to a reckoning with his own
yeah,
this own part of himself. Yeah,
his reprehensible action. Okay, that's very good. Yes, I love that he left the portal on.
Yeah.
And it's just
he took a selfie of himself pooping on a statue of the alien leader.
I mean, I got to say, like, for somebody who doesn't like Duke, if I came in and John Cena was, like, not getting it up, and then he just, like, opened up a portal in front of an orgy, fucked up a bunch of aliens, shat on a statue, came back, and then, like, as he got naked, the camera panned up from him fucking, like, 18 people, and he just heard, ugh, and Duke Nukem title slammed, I'd be like, this movie is fucking out of control. I was like, this is the shit right now.
Yeah, okay, so he went, so he, you do that again, the classic, like, the, when Kanye's in bed with all the celebrities.
Yeah, exactly.
Just this, like, fresco of flesh just on this, his huge bed that's shaped like his own head, right? And then he wakes up and he goes up and he yawns and he looks and, like, Las Vegas is just on fire. He's like, oh! He's like, those aliens are back. And then he very quickly, they're like, there was some sort of portal. They were able to get in. And he's like, oh, shit.
He has, like, 90 missed calls all from the president. He's been calling him, like, what's happened? The aliens are back.
Can this be the second movie in our President Hillary Clinton trilogy? And yeah. Hillary Clinton's like, God damn it, I can't believe I'm saying this, but we need you, Duke Nukem.
Okay. So he's caused the end of the world.
And yeah, now, he's caused this massive alien invasion.
Okay.
Right? Okay.
That's a good first act. That's a good beginning. Okay, now who was the personal story that we follow? Who does he team up with? And how do you
did my part.
Yeah. How does this begin?
Okay. That's all right. Okay, so the other thing I had in mind was, like, you do, like, I'm also picturing this alien leader, right? And maybe it's like his dad was this testosterone, basically the alien version of Duke, right? Mm-hmm. And so, like, this new guy has inherited his alien kingdom. He's, like, trying to, like, be a man of peace. Like, he wants the aliens to, like, you know, reform their old violent warlike ways. And then Duke Nukem comes in and takes a shit on a statue of his father. And all of his advisors are like, you're going to get murdered if you don't go kick Duke Nukem's ass. He's like, oh, my God, fine. I don't know. It's just
I had an idea. I do just like the idea that Duke just never learns. So, like, you were talking about in, like, eight player multiplayer match or whatever, it should definitely be the aliens that found a way to mutate people into Duke.
They use his poop from the statue.
Yes.
They're like, because the aliens are like, but how do we beat him? Like, he's beaten us every single time we've gone up against it. Like, there was one pube left from his balls that he left behind, and we've cloned it. And then, so, again, it's like low. It's like X-23 or whatever, right?
But I like the near the end, it's like the Empire Strikes Back moment. He's face-to-face with, like, eight other dukes, and they're all just saying horrible shit to him. And the lady cop's like, does this make you think? He's like, man, these guys are awesome. I'm going to beat them. this is the first time I ever felt an enemy is worthy of me. She's like, Jesus Christ, Duke. they're the worst. But yes, definitely the turning point is he's like, aliens are one thing. I can beat aliens. Like, can you beat an army of dukes?
Okay, can we do, bear with me, is there because I need something that the audience can root for that Duke would also give a shit about on a personal level. Level, do you do, like, there's, like, little, you know, Timmy whatever that's, like, a Make-A-Wish kid that his only wish was to meet Duke Nukem?
Big Duke Nukem fan.
Yeah, like, Duke Nukem, like, again, like the kid in the Mean Joe Green commercial, or, like, the kid in the, there's a little kid who thinks Duke Nukem is the greatest hero on Earth, and, like, he's going, like, Duke Nukem's gonna rescue this kid.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like, or, you know what I mean? It's like this, I don't know.
Like a Make-A-Wish. Yeah, the Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, let's make a kid, let's find a way for the kid, I mean, he writes aliens, it could be whatever, like, the kid's DNA.
I like that the kid is also just you what a horrible role model.
No, exactly.
He is.
I would do,
the kid's like, hey Duke, my mom told me to do my homework and I told her to blow it out her ass. He's like, this kid's all right.
Nice, how's your mom look? He's like, oh man, that'd be so cool. my dad sucks. Can you beat my dad up? When we're done with this, Billy, I'll beat your dad up and fuck your mom. And the lady cop's like, Jesus Christ. Like, dude, you're the worst
mom.
Role
model. The mom walks in the hospital room, and they're both just like, he's showing them how to, like, chomp a stogie, and they're like lighting it. She's like, you can't light that in here.
Okay, so yes, let's do. Okay, we need to come up with the MacGuffin.
Mom, Duke taught me how to smoke stogies.
Here's how you get, like, a cop I think it'd be good to have a cop, but if you need multiple characters, maybe the kid is more like the MacGuffin than, like, a character at the beginning. Because you could do, this kid is, he's sick or whatever, and he's a big Duke fan. I don't think Duke's necessarily, like, heard of him because he spends all his time fucking in orgies rather than, like, signing autographs for kids, right? Mm-hmm. So anyways, you do. The aliens are just killing everybody, but this either a cop who is, like, working in the hospital or a doctor, the aliens kidnap this kid, which is weird because they just kill everybody else. And, like, what was this kid about? And you need whatever the MacGuffin, like, his DNA holds the ability to like if they can. You
oh,
know,
he's one of Duke's many illegitimate children.
Oh shit! Next level. Yes. Okay, that's very good. They need Duke. So they need.
They
Duke's,
need the kid to make the Dukes.
They need Duke's DNA.
Yeah.
Yes, that's very good. The poop or pube was not enough.
They or need, just or just a,
and Duke a, is impossible to cap. They right. They put the pube in, which is your incredible idea. They put the pube into this machine and they shoot it at one. They shoot it at somebody and the person turns into like starts turning into Duke, but then you know.
He explodes because it's unstable.
And they're like, it's not enough DNA. It's like, well, we can't capture Duke. He's impossible to get or whatever. And they're like, and they find out he has a kid.
Oh, so you use the pube is what gives them the idea.
Yes. Okay. And then they have to save the kid. And then, yes, you do that. They capture. They just as they go save the kid, it's too late. They've already taken his DNA. Mm-hmm. And there's a they can now turn anybody into Duke.
Okay. I definitely
also wanted a gag where they open the door up. They're like, where's Duke? And they open the door up and he's fucking himself. And like, you can't do that if it's a little kid. Because like, he clearly. Aww. And if you also did that, like, he couldn't get a boner his whole movie. And then, like, once he has sex with himself.
Rock hard
he's
version.
Ready to go. He's like, I finally found somebody that's worth fucking, like somebody as good as me.
Oh wow! Oh, so
that's
I see.
Some American Psycho.
So
shit.
You do like he like before he pumps it to pump himself up for this big battle. He has an orgy with himself.
He turns rather than oh my god. Okay, this is probably too weird. But instead of killing, they make an army of their clones, and
defeat them with hate. He has to defeat them with love.
And then all of a sudden they're like,
he has to love himself.
They're like. Close the door, everybody. I'm going to take care of this. I'm like, what? It's like they've been watching these guys fight for hours. They can't defeat each other.
Yeah.
And then they close the door. They wait. It's an orgy.
Oh, my God.
And then
God.
They all stand up, and all of them are like, all right, Duke, we're all brothers in this now.
Dukes United.
Oh, my and they all God. Turn back. They all turn back. It's ill. And he's like, looks like all I needed was a little self-love. And the whole time she's like,
don't
the lady,
blame me. You're the one who told me to go fuck myself.
Exactly. And the lady cop the whole time is just like, you know what? You're just like full of shit. Like you're just hiding something deep down. You really hate yourself. And you learn to love yourself. It's like, yeah, I love myself plenty. And it's like, no, he didn't. He needs to learn to love himself. And he fucks himself. Okay. Well, that's pretty
wild.
And
then he turns this army of Dukes loose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, really quick. It's worth it for two things. One, the idea that the aliens' plan backfires against them because now they have to deal with eight other Duke Nukems who are all united because they love each other. And two, the very amazing tearful farewell scene that has to happen.
Yes, when all the other Dukes die. Like, all the other Dukes are on the planet when it blows up.
Or what were you going to say?
How insane would it be is if you do the thing where it's like, don't you realize? It's like, Duke, I'm not long for this world, Duke.
Oh, because they are all the clones. It's like Blade Runner. Yeah, they're only supposed to exist for 24 hours.
We only exist for but a day, but it was the most beautiful day.
Oh, my God.
He's giving the eulogy at their funeral. Like, you have eight Duke headstones.
This is the gag I want to do, is you have this whole thing, and yes, it ends. I think this goes to most of these go to space. Like, they're on the alien planet, and they defeat them, and they're going to get back in the shuttle, and they're like, and he turns around, and all the Dukes are standing there. They're like, we're not coming back. And they're like, well, it's like, we only last, for 24 hours or whatever. He's like, oh, no. And he's like, mind if I say goodbye? And the cop's like, yes, go ahead. Say goodbye to all your Dukes.
Yes, fine. Say
and
goodbye
this,
to yourself.
Yes, you have this dramatic moment, and they're all crying or whatever, and then they start melting. But the Duke that you think is the main Duke starts melting, too, and they all disappear, and there's one guy in the back. He's like, oh, I guess I'm the real Duke. It's like... Because they're all so fucking the same. Like, oh, shit, I'm the real Duke. All right, let's get out of here. And they all go to the ship, and they go off. Because they're just the fucking same. Just subvert that scene. They all start.
So he forgot?
Yeah, they all, because they're just
all
so
the
dumb.
They all...
In the movie, too, you don't know who you're following. They're all just the same.
Oh, my God.
And everybody's staring like, oh, my God, you're melting, too. And there's just one. It's all about just the long shot. One guy's in the back still standing up as all these guys are puddles of goo. And he's like, oh, shit. Like, all right, let's get out of here. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Oh, hey, I guess I was the real one the whole time.
Oh, yeah, that was the real
nice.
One.
Nice.
Nice.
Okay. Holy
anyway.
And that one learned nothing.
They learned nothing. He gets back on the spaceship and they won.
I guess I am pretty great.
That is the best gag of all time. Like,
that's
all
so
time
bonkers.
Greatest.
Okay. That's all extremely
Holy
good.
Holy shit.
Okay, so let's try to go through what's the act of this, because
right.
This is a lot
Holy
of fun.
So, act one, we introduce Duke in all his glory, right? It's the eve of Duke Fest. He's blowing off the invitation to meet the little kid, little knowing that the kid is his own son.
Oh, I like that. I like that he established that. It's like his assistant gives him a letter. It's like, hey, he's like, fuck that. I got fucking to do or whatever Duke says. Okay.
Or it's some sort of half-assed gesture to the kid. Yeah, give him a Duke pen.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's, yeah, so you introduce the kid. We introduced that he was, again, it's Duke Fest, and Duke Fest allows you to get the exposition about the aliens, right? That he kicked all their asses back in the day.
Yes.
And he was so good, they made a video game about it called Duke Nukem 3D.
Yeah.
So you definitely do like that. You reference the video games as well. Huge, but like, again, like, he is in this ennui now. It's been world, there's been no alien invasion since the last one. He's restless. Again, like, there's that part of him that hates himself, right? Yeah. That feels like he's a fraud. And again, this is not that the movie ever goes to any great lengths to have a monologue about this, but that is powering this character, right? Like, that's why he's so desperate to be the best, is because inside he feels like shit.
Once the whole world already knows and has read why you're so great, what do you do next?
Yeah, like again, he doesn't know what to write. So he has this ennui. Usually before his orgies, he plays Duke Nukem 3D to get a boner, but even that's not working. So then he's like, I gotta go for real. And he goes to, he goes into the portal, he beats the shit out of a bunch of aliens and fucking poops on the statue and leaves behind a single pube and goes back to it and has an all-night bone-a-thon.
Title slam,
Duke Nukem.
As he roars in ecstasy.
Duke Nukem, then he wakes up. We cut to the alien planet, and they have the pube, and they're like, don't you realize, like, this is our way we're going to finally get revenge on Duke Nukem. And it's like, he's like, but none of our soldiers were good enough. And he's like, exactly, but I have a plan, right? So then Duke Nukem wakes up the next day, and there's an all-out alien invasion, right? And he's like, holy shit, what's going on? So
why they didn't kill him in his sleep because the portal's there?
I know, I was thinking about that too, but whatever.
Whatever.
No, it's not his house. That's at the Smithsonian.
He goes to the Smithsonian.
The Hall of Duke isn't where he has his orgy. Yeah.
Good point, Will.
Yeah, Duke Vegas is like a whole city, you know?
Yeah, they had a whole wild night.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Good point.
They started making out at the museum, and they moved on and went to bars and shit.
Oh, yeah. No. It's just, again, like, everyone was waiting for this orgy. He's like, oh, shit, and he runs over to the museum to beat up a bunch of aliens.
Well, I definitely like that. Everybody was watching him in the portal because it just feels like a performance. Whatever.
Okay, yes. Anyway, he wakes up. Again, Las Vegas is burning. And, again, like, meanwhile, in another movie dealing with all of the consequences of Duke's shitty actions give me a name for this cop.
Roxy Stoke, at Artie Stoke, so Roxy.
Roxy, the cop. She is, you know, at the hospital visiting her partner who got shot, right?
Yeah.
And there's this kid down the hall who's like, do you know Duke Nukem? He's the best. And in the middle of the alien invasion, they slaughter everyone. Her partner turns into a pig cop right before her eyes, and this kid gets abducted. And she's like, why did that kid get abducted? So she's trying to figure out what happens to this kid, right? What happened to this kid? Duke Nukem finds out that the aliens are invading again. He's like, I gotta go kick some ass, right?
Yes.
So we know where we want to get to, which is the Duke self-orgy.
I think your info, in terms of, because again, not to just copy Big Trouble, but think about that, like, that starts full force, and the way I could kind of separate it out is, like, I think what you're first having is this, like, kind of alien invasion. You're having this, like, chase through the streets and stopping whatever, like, MacGuffin you have, or it's, I don't know. But I feel like the turning point is they take the kid to the alien planet or the space station, and you're, like, shoot into the fifth act as they go to outer space to go to the space station where he's asked to confront the Duke clones. You have your big climax there where they're saving the kid. So just try to work backwards from
Okay. Rather than do that, Duke just finds out from this cop that whatever. What if you do, he wakes up after his orgy and he has this big hangover. He's like, oh shit, I gotta go meet that kid from the hospital or whatever, right? And like, you know, so then you do, he goes to the hospital and your first big action scene is the hospital gets attacked. Right? And it's him and this cop are the only two survivors. And so you have this moment with this kid, like, and he meets the kid and the kid's like, I'm your greatest fan. And clearly the kid is his son and he's kind of freaking out about it. And then you do he sees the kid get kidnapped, right? Okay. And then, you know, like, and so you could even do one of those things where he doesn't want to, again, he says he wants to go after the aliens because they fucked up his car and his Ferrari, but it's clearly about his son or about this kid, right?
Yeah.
Like, and he wants to, I don't know. That would be my thought.
Okay, so if you did,
rather than have the cop be like, come on, Duke, go on the adventure. It's like, okay. Like, you know, like, have him be, like, invested in it. He's pissed off that they stole this kid.
Yeah.
And then, so then what would be my thought would be, you do, there's this alien invasion. This is, you know, like, while this is going on, right? And now his goal is he's got to get to the alien planet.
Mm-hmm.
And the teleporter is back at the Smithsonian or whatever, the Duke Temple. But it's under a lot. They've got, that's essentially the road of trials on the third act. In the third act, essentially, is him and this cop having to go get into the alien.
Breaking back in.
Get to the teleporter and go to the alien world to rescue the kid as your third act.
Yeah, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that works.
Because then that's where you would get, be like, how are they coming in here? It's like, I can think of maybe 20 ways, but one in particular.
I mean, yeah, you make the,
because that's how he would admit. It's like, there was an old portal. They must be going through this. Like, but that's never been activated. Why would that be open? It's like, dang, good question.
Anyway.
I definitely think not overstaying its welcome. You make this very lean. Because you could also do, to answer maybe the questions, you could also do that, yes, he falls asleep, but rather than like he wakes up his whole invasion, he wakes up and he sees the portal open. He's like, oh, that's not good. And it's just like aliens come out of that portal, and the first thing is he wakes up and he just has a fight in this, like right away in his apartment.
I think give it the time. Yeah. You're having fun. You know, it's like this crazy world. Like, yeah, I think you give it the time. And I like actually that scene with the kid is like the heart of the movie. Do you know what I mean? Because it is like Duke seeing, again, like this child's love is, you know, like it's going to stir up shit for him in terms of like, you know, not feeling like a fraud in front of this kid. And maybe, I mean, honestly, maybe you could do that scene in the first act. I like, to me, in terms of like a plot thing, seems the most tight to have him be there when the aliens show up and steal the kid, right? And you let him have a bonding moment with this kid,
right, and then
decide to go after him.
Okay, so he wakes up. He's like, he doesn't realize that he's left the teleporter on.
Yeah, and the alien invasion hasn't happened full on yet. Like, and it happens at the
hospital. Is when it happens, essentially. Yeah,
yeah. So you're kind of cross-cutting to a degree because you've seen these aliens are putting his pubes and are getting ready to infiltrate Earth again. And Duke Nukem is going to the hospital to do his Make-A-Wish requirement.
I think it's like a, you know, instead of a J.J. Abrams mystery box, it's a Story Break mystery pube. And you're like, what are they doing with that pube? Like, what do they need that? Why is this the key, right? And then you're like, oh, shit. And then it's like one of those things you're kind of figuring it out as it's going along.
Yes. Okay, so then he goes, he sees the kid. So your second act is essentially meeting this kid, and then the kid gets kidnapped.
Yes.
You have this action scene. The kid gets kidnapped, and we introduce Roxy.
Roxy.
Who is, you can make her the doctor. I was making her a cop so that we can kill a bunch of cops and have a good cop character.
She's like his doctor.
She's his doctor.
I want her to be able to hold her own in the action scenes.
Okay, she's a cop.
She's Dr. Cop.
The alien invasion happens. She's the cop on the beat there, and it's like, oh shit. All this stuff's going down.
Yeah. You can even do whatever. She knows the kid.
Just to rough it out for Duke, your third act is that journey to get to the portal, right? And we got to figure out kind of what his struggle is, like what he's going to, like he has to not be Duke, right? They're all looking for Duke Nukem. So he's going to have to blend in and try to post himself off as a commoner, right?
Yeah.
And he's
bear with me. It's not just the portal. It's because I don't think it's like they steal his kid and they go to the portal. Your third act is essentially why do they steal his kid? Trying to find out where this kid is going. Then your end of the third act is essentially discovering what they're using the kid for, which is they're making an army of Dukes, and it's too late. They've just transported him to outer space. So your third act, like your little point is like, oh my god, they have like, or like you, your next step is they know that the kid got teleported to the planet.
It's a chase.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So it's a chase scene where they're chasing the aliens who've taken this kid, right?
Yes.
And they're trying to catch him. They're trying to get him back.
Yes.
And then the end of the third act is they teleport to space, and he goes, I think you don't want Duke to find out that there's an army of Duke clones until he's face-to-face with them. That's all I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think you need him to find out. Like, you want to be with him when he's like, oh, shit. Like, he should find out by seeing his own face
staring
back.
Yeah, that's
fair.
It's like the kid. Yes, the third act is they go to space and they're like, we're going to go too. And they go there. And then the low point is they get captured by an army of Dukes and they're in prison or whatever. They got breakout.
What is an interesting struggle for him in the third act? That is just nonstop action sequences, right? Like the, in terms of what we've set up with this character, like that this guy that was so desperate to get a boner that he had to go fucking kill a bunch of people, right? Like the.
Well, that's kind of like why I like that it is a little bit of her being, because I think he needs to care enough about his kid to, like, that's what's gonna, he's gonna be, because what I like is, like, you don't make him literally a father at the end. It's like, he just cares enough that he saves the kid. And then it's like, hey, Duke, so, like, we want to play catch, like, literally just to steal from
Yeah, exactly. From it's like, you want to go play catch? Blow it out your ass.
He'd be like, nah.
Yeah,
he
exactly.
just walks away. Nah. He's not going to be his kid's dad.
No, absolutely
he's
not.
He's Duke Nukem. And then, by the way, the follow-up is how to be a great dad.
Why I'm such a great dad.
Why I'm such a great dad by Duke.
And
all the reason is that he saved his son from an alien invasion.
I feel like the fun of Duke, I mean, the fun of Jack Burton, or one of the things they play really well with Jack Burton, is Jack Burton has no idea what the fuck is going on.
Yeah.
He's a stranger in a strange land.
Yeah.
And so part of my And then the other guy knows what's up.
Yes,
like he's the one who's like,
dynamic.
Oh, boom, 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 boom. This is, and he's like, huh, what? Just show me who to punch and I'll punch them, right?
Yeah.
The problem you kind of have right now is that Duke is the expert on the aliens. Duke has fought them before. So it's like if Jack, the movie doesn't work if Jack Burton knows who Lo Pan is.
Yeah.
Like, he's the audience perspective. So that's kind of my trouble right now is that I feel like that character would be fun if she was like, if you were going to like, she's the xenobiologist alien expert, right? And she knows everything there is to know about these aliens. Again, maybe you do that. And Duke just did, all he's ever done is blown them up.
Yeah,
he doesn't know anything
he's just
about
like,
them.
You just punch them and shoot them. You don't want them at odds with each other because, again, you're essentially defining. You're inherently going to be praising Duke. You're either essentially judging Duke or making Duke cooler if you put this character at odds with the other character. Like, again, if it was like literally like you said, like what works in the dynamic in Big Trouble is just one character is the expert of what's going on and actually has like this self-interest in it, and the other one wants to be involved because he wants to be cool and get struck back. But if it was like they had ideological differences.
Yeah, no, Jack doesn't need a fucking Sam and Diane
chemistry
with the other main character. Because
you're
going to
judge one or the other. So
yeah, they're just bros. And like, you know, like they have slightly different motives and different personalities, but you're having fun. So like who would be a companion character to Duke? Who would be like someone that would be his equal? Do you know what I mean? Is it like this cigar chomping lady general or something like that? Like is it, I don't know. Like I'm like,
Or can you just do, is it just Duke? And do you have, like, do you need a partner and you have, like, characters show up? Like, again, he shows up and the general needs some help and you have him constantly kind of, like, help. You know, he's I don't know, like, do you need somebody with him for the whole journey?
Yeah, and you need other characters in the movie. Like, I don't know. You can't just do a movie about, just a guy just shooting. I guess that was Crank. Crank was pretty fun.
Yeah. I mean, you can definitely.
Well,
you have the president.
Crank,
you have the people
Crank
who are called.
Crank has a rotating cast of,
that's what
like,
I mean. You
support.
Kind of do that. It's like the person, the general who calls him, who's telling him what to do. He shows up at the fucking Smithsonian. There's an alien invasion, and there's a general. There's a cop who's in charge, and Duke's like, no, I'm in charge now. And, like, that's your kind of guy for a bit, and then he blows up, and Duke moves on. Like, do you need this? I guess it's like, what's the point of this other character?
Put a female character in the movie and have them have a prominent role so that it's not just a fucking macho boy fest. I don't know. Which is not, again, I grant you, not a dramatic reason.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to if I were to strip all of that clean, what would it be, right?
It's tough because Duke, when you have like a buddy, regardless of what it is, dramatic, if you're going to set up this like buddy thing, it's like you have, there's something, again, it's like either somebody needs somebody's help or they have conflicting interests or different, like you need something. And it's like right now it's like, anything would either, one, diminish the fun of Duke Nukem, which is just let this guy fucking go nuts and do what he wants to do. Or it's just like a helper who's going to be this kind of diminutive character regardless. Like, I'm just trying to think of what would
be
a good companion.
Yeah, I think the rotating cast
Duke
is fun just because you can still get the gag. Because, right, it's about him in juxtaposition with other people. So you can still have someone, you know, being like, this guy's an idiot. But you're not tied into them. He can come out as he needs.
Well, when the kid is another character, it's like, again, like Crank is a good example. Like this is a lean 90-minute adrenaline fucking action movie about this guy who starts with like he can't get up for an orgy, so he punches some aliens. He's responsible for the end of the world. He ends up saving his kid, and then he leaves his kid to go write his new awesome book about how awesome he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this guy is reprehensible, and the movie clearly kind of gets it, but you're having fun with it, and it's just enough. It's just knowing enough about it, like. Like he's a wall of, he's just this like force of destruction in this, like, at the margins of this movie. I don't know.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like the okay, all right. To throw another angle on.
Mm-hmm.
What if, again, let's say it's his daughter,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't know why this girl thinks Duke Nukem's the best, but mm-hmm. she does. And you do, I mean, that makes it a damsel in distress.
No,
oh my God, kill me. But I was going to say, you would do the other character, just to meet the other characters, this kid. And then rather than just have him being a MacGuffin, the kid has like a Duke Nukem brand walkie-talkie that he snuck into the, that he snuck away with. The aliens don't realize he's got like a little walkie-talkie, right? So like he's calling Duke, being like, I'm scared, Duke, I don't know what's going on. But then the kid's also pretty smart, and like he's, you would do that, like that's the person he's having the relationship with throughout the, almost like Al and Die Hard. Do you know what I mean?
Just,
like you give it to, and then you just, you have to have someone in the movie you're going to fucking talk to. Like,
no,
and
because...
Just hold on. You can't just say, well then there's just other characters that he has.
No,
like, no, like you, like Pinocchio needs Jiminy Cricket.
You know what
Duke
Nukem fans don't want? They don't want a fucking 12-year-old in their movie talking to Duke. Like Crank would imagine Crank, but you have a 12-year-old also with him in Crank. Like, it's a bad, like, no, like, nobody wants to have this guy fucking kicking ass and punching strippers.
Duke is
with a
flavor. He is peanut butter.
No, but you
need
make,
jelly to go with peanut
yes,
butter.
Yes, but again, you have the general that come, like,
well,
yes.
Then who the fuck is this general? Like,
sure,
I don't understand.
You're right.
What you're
well,
saying.
We have 2 minutes, but no. If I were to say, like, you point to Crank. Crank, he does talk to people, but he also, he has the doctor who's telling him he's going to fucking live or die. And that's, like, the force that's pushing him. You can definitely have, you can do a movie that is, you know, Gray is a guy against wolves. You can have it be Duke, and you can have him interact with people as you, because we haven't set up what all these different set pieces are. But first you have the people who are at the orgy. And then when he goes to, they need help at the hospital, he's bashing, you know, he's bashing heads with his fucking old general who was the guy who fought with him in the first movie. You have the president talking to him, telling him, like, Duke, I don't give a shit about your kid. You gotta go stop Air Force One from getting kidnapped or from getting taken out. He's like, fuck you, president. I'm going after my own blood. And then he told, like, you have people throughout the movie, but, like, I don't know. I just can't think. In the time we have, I can't think of a character that adds
to the movie.
All right, fine.
All right, then then let's run through what the rest of this movie is. Like, that's the thing I struggle with then. Okay, so it's not him and this cop. Fine, fair enough. We can cast that aside. Sorry, Roxy. President Roxy is the, and, okay, but to do President Roxy, I think you stumbled on, that's being rude. You came up with an interesting conflict there, which is...
The president has American needs.
The president wants him to save the world. Duke wants to save this kid, right? Because this kid thinks he's awesome, right? So, and he's like, fuck the world, right? Or whatever, right? Like, but that coming into conflict, like, again, like, you would do, the president wants to use the portal to blow up the alien planet, right? So at a certain point, I think the stakes would become, like, those missiles are going to hit the planet. Duke goes rogue and steals a spaceship to go to the alien world or whatever, and he's got to get the kid out of there before the missiles obliterate the alien planet.
Yeah.
If you're going to do something like that. See, that seems like an interesting
topic. Because what would be fun is, like, again, the president's like, you need to go here or the world's gonna end, and Duke's like, nah, I'm gonna go to the alien planet. And then, of course, it's like he's there for a completely selfish reason, and then he finds out, it's like, oh shit, this is how they're gonna end the world. He calls up the president, like, hey, Mr. President, just wanted to know I was totally right, and the alien planet is how they're gonna blow up the world, so I'm gonna save the world now. He hangs up the phone. It's like, god damn it, Duke's always right.
The fun of that, by the way, is that you establish at the beginning that the world
he's responsible for.
Well, the
all
fun
this.
About that is you establish that the world at the very beginning is, like, kind of over him. Like, Duke Fest is like the people, they're still fans, and so he loves his, like, few remaining fans. So then when it's like, you need to save, it's like, the world turns it's back on me, you know. It's like he doesn't even care about them anymore, right? Like, so then it's like, oh yeah, he's going after his kid.
I think you want the world to like him, just because I don't know. That's the playing forever. So, like, the moment he's kind of, like, down and out, you're kind of already being, like, ironic about it.
Oh, that's fair. That's
fair.
I think he's just an asshole. And again, the fun of this is all the subversion is he saves the day, and it's like you see the death toll as he tells the kid, he's like, hey, here's a badge on me, and he gives it. He's like, hey, you want to play? He's like, nah, I'm busy, and he walks away. And then you see the death toll is like 4 million people are dead, and he's like, I saved the world once again. It's like, this dude is like, he sucks, but he's awesome. Like, he had a great time.
Okay,
he did save this kid, he did save the world, but it's all his fault because he couldn't. Up all right. An orgy.
All right, let's just to walk through this, just because I want to
I want to give
this the real juice, you know what I mean? So we get to the end of the second act.
Yeah.
The kid has been abducted, right? Yeah. Like, the kid and Duke is going after him, right? Yeah. He's like, so there's aliens invaded. This kid seems to be the key to it, right?
Yeah.
And now Duke is like, I've got to find out what's going on with that kid, right? Like, or whatever, right? And the, okay. And then, you know, we're also talking about potential.
Hold on. Take it. Good. Okay.
Now we're also talking about potentially I'm just trying to get my way around this. I'm just trying to.
I think you do. It is he lets the aliens out. In which case, again, I would just literally have the movie. And again, maybe he finds out. You know what you want? Here's how. Okay, to make it straightforward and as Krang-like as possible, is the reason he couldn't get it up is because he just found out he had an illegitimate kid. He knew that is something, and he's going to go visit him tomorrow. It's on his mind. That's why he's having problems today. And you maybe reveal that after the fact, but it's like he can't get it up because, like, oh my god, I have a kid.
That's why he's been putting off seeing this kid.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And then in order to deal with this fact, he's got a new kid. That's why he freaking opens up this portal, punches some aliens and poops on it, and then has an orgy. Mm-hmm. And then he goes to see his kid for the first time. He's just a nervous new dad, essentially Duke Nukem's thing. And his kid gets kidnapped before he can see him from the aliens that he let loose from his irresponsible behavior.
Yeah.
So he's going after the kid. And then, yes, the president and the generals call him. And, like, maybe he needs his old ship back in order to go after him. He's like, we're not giving you shit back until, like, this happens. Or, like, the aliens give him a countdown. Like, they're going to kill his kid in 24 hours or whatever it is. But, like, you would do this, like, pretty brutal, primal, like, 20-minute chase of, like, trying to go after the kid or whatever. I don't know.
I like him trying to get his old shit back.
Yeah.
Like, it's under the government was like, all your weapons are too dangerous.
Yeah.
We requisitioned them. They're in a vault
yeah,
somewhere.
Yeah, because he had a handheld nuclear launcher. Like,
you could also
game.
Do, bear with me, you could also do, the government is like, stay out of this, Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you fucking, this is your fault. Again, the government, this yeah. president knows why the fucking.
We saw the security camera.
Yeah,
footage.
That's actually very
as
good.
Far, and again, they're like, for all they know, Duke Nukem's gone rogue.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, actually, you could do that if you wanted to, right?
He gets arrested
for opening the fucking portal and like, well, I'm going to execute your ass. You're sitting this one out, Duke. Like, fuck you, right? Like, the last thing I need is you screwing this up more. And then he's like, God damn it, this is some fucking bullshit, right? So then you do, he's got to break out of jail, and
he should rip the Declaration of Independence in half for some reason. Like, his giving up the badge to the president, he breaks out of prison. The president comes like, Duke, what are you doing out of prison? He just holds the Declaration of Independence like, I don't follow the rules anymore. It's like, wait, that's the, he just rips it in half. It's like, I'm going after my kid. It's like, this guy's such a bad boy. Anyway, so yes, he goes. So the government's after him too because he's
okay.
responsible.
Yes.
In fact, they want to give him up to the aliens because they want him back. Because
that's all they want.
Yeah,
they just want about Duke Nukem. They're like, clearly,
yes.
Duke. Yeah, okay, that's great.
Okay.
All right, so President Roxy, Roxy, you become the villain of this piece. President Roxy apprehends Duke Nukem.
Yes.
They throw him in cuffs, and maybe like again, it's like you can do like Roxy's regretful because she's like, God damn it, Duke, like why'd you have to go and screw this up? Like,
yeah.
Like she was president back on his last mission, so like she knows he's a true hero, right?
Yeah.
So maybe even do like Roxy's the one who like secretly like leaves the key next to the door to like go, like for
sure.
Duke to go fucking kick ass
yeah.
and take names or whatever. They've got to give Duke up to the
yeah.
aliens, right? Like again, like the you know, like they're like this is, and then so yes, that's your first thing. His kid gets kidnapped, right? And then it's like
yeah.
then he gets thrown in jail, and then he's got to bust out, right, and get his old shit back. But at any rate, I think your third act is again this madcap
yes.
chase, right? He breaks out of the Pentagon.
Yes.
You do this like I think you have like again like your good guy government. You have good guy President Roxy and bad guy CIA director,
yeah.
bad guy Department Secretary of
State
Defense
or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah defense.
Secretary of Defense like is like this wannabe Duke Nukem who's like I'm cooler than you, Duke. Duke's like you just copped my style, dude. Like, it's just like this wannabe. Yeah, like
can we just do? I mean, maybe it's not exactly that, but bear with me just to give a whole arc. It would be it's this nervous father. He wishes the problem would just go away, right? And at first, he's got to go after the kid. And then, yes, you do the final moment is he has a choice, whether or not it's literally the president giving him the option. But, yes, he essentially lets the problem go away. He gives up his kid to the aliens, and everything's fine.
And everyone's like, Duke saved the Earth,
and
yeah!
Then the president, Roxy, shows up, and she's like, are you kidding me? I remember Duke before. And he's like, look, I don't want kids. He's like, yeah, it's not about being – you don't need to be a father. I'm just saying, like, right, what would you do if those aliens took your car? He's like, I'd fucking kill them. What would you do if those aliens took your TV? He's like, I'll go out there and I'd kill their –
A kid, and then she's like, Duke, a kid is like a sports car that you made with your dick.
He's like, oh my God. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God, she's right.
She's like, and yeah, he's like, fuel up the shuttle. And then it's like, you know, you cut the Cape Canaveral. He's shooting it down her face. And he's going back to
the
kid.
I like that it's like there's she's like, I'll get a shuttle ready to go. She's like, there's no time. He just has to go beat up a bunch of astronauts and steal their spaceship.
Yeah.
Like he's not, there's no taking. There's no asking anyone for permission
yes.
for anything.
So at first, he's...
You cut to Cape Canaveral, and these astronauts are about to take off, and then Duke just lands on the windshield of the space shuttle, punches his way through, and blasts off. Anyway.
So the beginning, he's trying to stop this alien invasion, and then he discovers throughout this thing that they're going after his kid. And yes, however you get to it, the final moment is this wall stop if he just lets them take, they just need his DNA because whatever. I don't
he
know
tracks them down to the, he realizes they're going back for the portal, right?
Yeah.
Like they, or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like there's some place that they're going to. There's a secret spaceship in the Eiffel Tower of Vegas.
Area 51.
You know what?
They're going to Area 51. Yeah, they're going to Area 51 because the first portal got destroyed. There's a second portal at Area 51, so he's
yeah.
got to chase them there. There's this big brawl at Area 51 because that's, of course, like right at the heart of the government's operations
yeah.
or whatever. And to me, there would be an alien,
yeah.
right, that is the head of the force that's you know pulling this move to steal
yeah.
the kid. Like the rest of the invasion's a distraction,
yeah.
right? And this is what's really going on.
Yeah.
So you would do Duke figures that out. It would be in this battle with this alien,
yeah.
right? And he makes a choice in that battle that is revelatory of his character in some way. He's gonna rip off the guy's head and shit down his neck. And while he's shitting down his neck, he sees them take the kid or whatever,
yeah.
right? Like, he's like, he was so fucking... Because this guy... Again, here's essentially what it is, right? It's like,
yeah.
they're getting away... The guy's goons are getting away with the kid.
Yeah.
the guy, all he realizes all he needs to do is distract Duke Nukem long enough for them to get the kid out of there.
Yeah.
Right? And so Duke Nukem, again, it's like Duke Nukem's about to escape the facility with little Timmy, right? Yeah. And then the guy's like, Duke Nukem, you got a tiny dick or whatever, right? Yeah. Like, dun, dun, dun. And Duke Nukem's like, what the fuck did you say? And it's like, Duke, just get out of there. You won.
Yeah.
But he has to go back. He can't let the slight against his ego slide. Mm-hmm. So he goes to beat the shit out of the bad guy. And then it's as he's, again, like literally the guy's like, he doesn't realize it, but this was the guy's plan. He's taking a shit on the guy's neck and he looks up and he sees them taking little Timmy away, yeah. right? The aliens have vanished. All of the aliens disappear. No one saw what went down in that room. So then everyone's like, Duke saved the world again. Yeah. He gets what he wanted all along, which is that sense of, but it
which means, is a front page photo in the USA Today of him shitting down
Duke
the aliens.
Duke saves the world but loses his kid. I would even do the president probably realizes that they need the kid for something, but she knows she can't convince Duke to go to the alien planet for some selfless reason. Like, we got to stop these aliens from making Dukes or whatever. Like, yeah, but he's like, no, Duke's never going to do this. It's like, don't worry, I'll find a way. And then she goes in and yes, she says, they took your kid. Your kid is like a car that you made with your own dick. What would you do if they took your sports car? He's like, I will fucking go kill them. He's like, go kill them. And then he goes, he's like, whoa, Mr. President, do you know that they're like making Duke? People in Van Rose like, oh, crazy. Well, can you take care of that too? He's like, I'll take care of that. And anyway, so he goes, he saves his kid. He stops the aliens from making a Duke army that was going to destroy the world. And he saves the world a second time, but this time he also saves his own kid.
And he fucks, he clones himself.
He fucks himself and clones himself. He loves himself again. He has a super awesome orgy and he sits down and writes his new book, Why I'm a Great Dad, while he's left his kid.
While his kid is playing Duke Nukem in the other room. Not being fathered.
And there it is.
He invites the kid to go live at the Duke Palace. But then the kid he's just like, here's being a dad. Play the video game about me.
Why I'm a Great Father by Duke Nukem.
Yeah.
Okay. Duke Nukem, the movie, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to take as with all of many of our movies, it ends up being a dad movie. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to pitch this movie to the man himself.
Hey, we'd like to talk to you about our new podcast on Maximum Fun, Friendly Fire.
It's the podcast about action movies and Sylvester Stallone specifically. It's the show I've always wanted to make.
It is not that. It is not that at all.
It's a little bit more of a war movie podcast.
It's not a little bit more of a war movie podcast. It is explicitly a war movie podcast. We look at them from all sides and put them in a variety of cultural and historical contexts, such that anyone is going to enjoy this show.
So go grab Friendly Fire every Friday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Story Break, everybody. Freddy had to step out of the room. He's got some other Freddy stuff going on. So me and Matt are charged with going to the Duke Palace to pitch our Duke Nukem movie to Duke Nukem himself. Normally only one of us touches the pitch, but like, Matt, I was really nervous about this. Like, we're pitching it to Duke Nukem. Like, I don't want him to rip off my head and shit down my neck. So I figured it's best to bring some backup in.
No, that's a good idea. I mean, two of us will not be able to take on Duke, but I think it's I just want to meet the man.
Yeah.
So here we go.
It's Duke Nukem.
Hi, Mr. Duke.
You talking to me?
Hi. I'm Matthew Arnold from Rocket Jump, and this is my friend and co-writer.
I'm Will Campos.
My gun's bigger than yours.
Okay. We didn't bring guns with us. We would never bring guns to Duke's palace because, of course, you've got the
you
big gun.
You guys suck.
We're very sorry. Would you mind just 30 seconds of your time to pitch you a big motion picture about your life?
Duke, baby, we want to make a movie about you.
Holy shit.
That's right.
That's right.
This is going to be a big deal. We're from Hollywood. I don't know if you saw this, but John Cena is going to be in a movie about you, and we wanted to run the story by you. If that's okay with you,
go
Mr.
ahead. Make my day.
All right. One of the things I love most about you, Duke, is that book you wrote, Why I'm So Great. Now,
damn, I'm good.
That's right. Yes. And this is a movie about that idea. So we open. It's been 20 years since the last invasion of the aliens, and you are just king of the world, right? And we open on Duke Fest. But what this movie's really about is getting to the heart of Duke Nukem and getting to, like, what drives you as a man and what makes you so great. So this movie, I'm very intimidating pitching this movie. All right, I'm just going to dive in, Duke. Okay, so
this is about you getting your groove back. Because what's the one thing that would psych you out? Right, because you have sex with lots of people, correct?
I've got balls of steel.
I know. I'm seeing them now. It's very impressive. So here's the thing. We're going to start this movie as we should start any movie with you having sex with an incredible amount of people. But this time, and now bear with me, I know it's going to be tough.
Well, look at that. You can see my dick from here.
Exactly. But I'm sorry to say your dick is a little flaccid. Because here's the thing.
This really pisses me off.
I know it does.
You found out that you had a kid.
Now I'm really pissed off.
You are. You are. And here's the thing. Those aliens, they take your kid.
Looks like it's time for me to go postal.
And that's pretty much the movie. You go postal as you try to save your kid, and it ends with you fucking yourself because there's a bunch of clones of you.
Don't have time to play with myself.
This is the worst pitch. Well, it's a pleasure meeting you.
Get back to work, you slacker.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Sir Duke, Mr.
Damn, you're ugly.
I know.
Okay, well, I feel kind of bad about that. I thought we
guys, what happened? What happened to the Duke pitch?
Oh, dude, Freddie, it did not go very well. I got to admit, usually I feel like I'm pretty cool under the handle. I was definitely very starstruck to meet Duke. So that sorry.
Yeah, as we all would be.
Yeah.
Anyway. That's going to do it for us this week.
Duke Nukem.
Duke Nukem.
That's Duke Nukem, everyone.
So don't, you know, if you want to see Duke Nukem, you just saw it in the theater of your mind. Brought to you by Storybreak. Thanks, everybody. Thanks so much for, we just crossed 200 iTunes reviews. Is that correct, Matt?
Does anybody track their iTunes? We are losers.
Ah, dang, we are.
iTunes just sent us a plaque that says 200 reviews. We're going to hold it. Thank you so much, all of our fans. We're crossing 200 reviews. But yes, thank you to... I know we finally got our commercial on Maximum Fun, which is great. So
they've been playing our ad for a while.
Oh, well, anyways, welcome new viewers. I hope you enjoyed this episode.
As you may have heard, we sometimes pull names from our viewers to fill in for characters. No guarantee if you're going to be a good character or if your character's profession won't change halfway through from cop to president. But
or gender.
But if you want to get your name on the list, I have a little Google Sheets that I referenced during the episode. Go ahead and tweet at us at RJStoryBreak, and we'll throw your name on there. So, anything else? Oh, yeah.
A couple of quick shout-outs to some people who did some awesome fan art for our last episode, Chess. Thanks so much to Ryan Brown at Rallister Brown. Well, his has this really awesome tagline, when you see a good move, look for a better one. And that's an actual Chess quote from someone whose name I don't remember. The tagline is a quote from Emmanuel Lasker. We also got some awesome fan art from Sean Allen. He is at Burr3Al3N on Twitter. Really fun poster as well. Kind of a Scarface type vibe called Stalemate. Solid poster art from Mark Ryantel and Albino Penguin again. We've got one called Two Kings. Ambition goes never goes unchecked.
Ooh, that's such a good one, unchecked. We didn't get that one.
That one's dope. And Albino Penguin sent in a really awesome Bollywood-inspired one as well. So thank you again to all of our fan-arting fans.
So that's going to do it for us. Until next week, we'll see you later.
Yeah, Mark.
Hey, buddy.
Oh, hey, what's up, man?
So I'm at this mafia restaurant.
What?
I'm going to go in and ask these guys what they think the best pasta shape is.
Mark, they're probably eating...
I have a hunch that it's probably ravioli, but... I mean, you know what? That's a good idea. Whatever they're eating, I'll just take a look in their bowls and see what they have.
Maybe...
There's supposed to be a big meeting there today.
Can you see it from the street? That sounds really dangerous.
I'm just going to go inside and ask.
Don't bother them. They're probably eating,
Look, I'm not threatened by them.
How about we tell them what the best pasta is on our podcast? We got this with Mark and Hal.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Thank God.
Tuesdays at 9?
On MaximumFun.org.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.